Hello, this is Orlando Mayor Buddy Dyer.
Welcome home.
Soar into tower. We are ready for takeoff.
Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Hey, it's Amy from DVC Clubhouse.
Hey, Clubbers, it's Scott from DVC Clubhouse.
Hey, it's Kathleen from DVC Clubhouse.
Welcome aboard, it's Phil from DVC Clubhouse. DVC Clubhouse, you got this.
Wow. We're going to go ahead and rewind that.
Yeah, we're going to start this one over.
All right.
Take two.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Debrief, the podcast brought to you by DVC Clubhouse. This is Amy, and I am joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Phil, Kathleen, and Scott. Hey, guys.
Hey, guys.
Hey, guys.
Welcome aboard, guys.
Oh, goodness. You know, sometimes I wish that we could just have the video on for people and not just the audio, because Scott in the background and his shenanigans. Sometimes it makes it hard for me to focus. So,
don't know what
you'll not hear
about.
Is that this was take two of the opening. But anyway, we are back to have another fun conversation, hopefully, that doesn't devolve into too much bickering.
Are we calling the last one fun?
Wait, what was the last
we
one?
We ended with
lounges?
You and Scott making goat and sheep noises.
Lounges.
Lounges.
Well, you know,
it was fun.
There's all different definitions of fun out there. I'm sure that somebody appreciated that humor.
If you appreciated that, reach out to me. Let me know who you are, please.
I mean, we do have some young kids listening. They might enjoy some animal, goat, sheep humor. I don't know. But anyway, hopefully today we won't. What is that face?
Sorry.
What is it about? I mean, kids enjoy bathroom humor. I'm not sure they enjoy animal humor.
Yeah. This podcast is for you if you're young and enjoy farm animal noises.
Welcome aboard.
Anyway.
What do we talk about today, Amy?
So today we are going to discuss the DVC resorts that are best for resort-only stays. So it's often a conversation that comes up on social media to talk about what to do when you are doing resort-only stays. So I think it makes sense to talk about where you should stay if you're doing a resort-only stay. I think there are a couple of resorts that really lend themselves to resort-only stays. I feel like we might agree today.
I highly doubt that.
I think Amy and I will agree. I think we have the same.
I'm not holding out any hope.
I'm going out way in left field. Nobody knows what I'm going to say.
Yes, I do.
You have no clue.
It has to be DVC Resort.
Oh, it is. Don't you worry.
Your same answer all the time is the Grand Floridian.
Easy, easy now. That's not what I sound like. My voice is much deeper than that.
Narcissus.
The Crown Jewel.
That's more like it. You got to say it with a little bit of sexiness in your voice. It's the crown jewel. Nothing beats the crown jewel.
Do you want to go first?
No, I do not want to go first for the third episode in a row. I believe we should leave that up to Phil.
Didn't I go first last time?
No, I did.
You know, this is going to be a really, really short intro by me. I am sitting here almost in tears, just imagining going all the way down there to sit at a resort, no matter how beautiful it is and how much fun it is, and know that I am just a short walk, boat ride, monorail ride, or bus ride from a park, and I am not allowed to go into a park. I honestly don't think I can do it. I have an annual pass for a reason. I love the parks. Even when I'm in the parks and they're crowded and they're mobbed and I'm hot and sweaty and nasty, I still love the fact that I'm at the parks. I don't know that I could go to Disney property and just make it a resort stay. I this is just a completely foreign concept to me.
I think that you'll be able to do it. You're a pretty disciplined person when you put your minds to something. I think that you'd be able to make it happen.
Okay, so maybe I could make it happen, but I guarantee you I would spend all day, every day, being salty about the fact that I wasn't in the parks.
So you would be in a bad mood.
I'd be in a Disney bad mood, which is still a better mood than anything at home, but I would still be grumpy.
How is you being salty all day, every day that you're there any different than how you are every day and anywhere? It's just different because usually when you're in Disney, you're not salty.
I am lovable, God.
How dare you say that?
How dare you?
Finally. No, I'll text you pictures from the park, Phil.
Go ahead, Phil.
So I will say there are resorts that I love, but I think they can't be in this conversation for me. I think everyone has heard me say or post somewhere that my favorite resorts are the ones that give me the easiest immediate access to the park. We love Polynesian because we can just take a monorail or, before they close the walking path, walk or a boat over to Magic Kingdom, or we can go over to the TTC and hop on a monorail for Epcot. We love Beach and Yacht Club and Boardwalk because we can immediately walk into the back of Epcot and just enjoy it. I am going to make Kathleen's year here.
Oh, God.
If I have to go and pick a resort for a resort-only stay, I'm going to Animal Kingdom. Number one, I suppose I can't be too salty about not having to get on the 47-minute bus ride to the park, so it saves me a whole lot of time. So we'll just throw that right out there.
It's like 8 minutes.
Okay, so it's 8 minutes. It feels like 8 years underwater.
And it's like 3 minutes if you want to go to Animal Kingdom Park.
But I'm going to Animal Kingdom because, first of all, you've got to get a Savannah view. Because you can relax on your balcony watching the animals. And I would argue that the food at Animal Kingdom Lodge is second to none. When you look at what's available to you there to eat without even going off of that property. Oh, and by the way, if I'm staying resort only, it just means I can't go into the parks. I will visit other resorts. But I have Chico, which is a signature restaurant, phenomenal food. I have
Boma.
Remind me of the buffet. Boma, thank you. I have Boma for an amazing buffet, breakfast, and I believe they do lunch. I've never done lunch there, but dinner. I have Sanaa. My wife would go just for the bread service. We have joked about flying down there to get a milkshake in the park and bread service at Sanaa for dinner. Very eclectic menu. You've got a fantastic gift shop. You've got a very excellent quick serve. You have access to both Jumbo and Kidani for both of the pools. I think for a resort-only stay, I would be hard-pressed to come up with a resort that I think offers more to keep you entertained, be an enjoyable stay, give you great food, give you good access to everything you need not entering the parks. So for as much as I typically don't like to stay at Animal Kingdom for our normal stays, I think that's where I've got to end up if I'm doing resort only.
Plus, they have the nighttime safari that you could do.
Did I tell you that we went down there once and I brought my own night vision goggles for the kids to use so we didn't have to go get one from the ranger? I was like the coolest guy in the place.
We've never done that.
It's because we don't own night vision goggles?
No, we've never done the nighttime safari.
Oh. I'll loan you mine.
Thanks, Phil.
Well, that's a good choice.
Yeah, I think that Animal Kingdom Lodge is a solid choice.
Yeah, it's pretty mid.
You own there.
I just knocked everybody into silence because nobody ever expected me to come out in support of Animal Kingdom Lodge for anything.
That was my that's my number one right there. It's one of them.
Oh.
So I think that my number one, and this might surprise people.
Don't steal mine.
I think that
Don't you steal mine. Because I know what you're going to... You better not steal mine. Go ahead. Let's hear it.
I was going to say it's the Grand Floridian.
Okay, you can have that for this time. Okay. That's not what I'm going to say.
Okay, so the reason why I'm picking the Grand Floridian, and it's tough because it's really kind of a toss-up for me between Grand Floridian and Beach Club, but I'm really trying not to be predictable with Beach Club because that's always my answer. But truly, I think that why Grand Floridian is the best resort for a resort-only stay is because the dining options, you have more restaurants there than at any other resort. You've got Narcoossee's, Citricos, Grand Floridian Cafe, 1900 Park Fair, Victoria and Albert's if you decide you want to go fancy. You've got the Enchanted Rose, which I love. My number two favorite lounge on Disney property, as we established last week's episode, right? Okay. You've got the piano player in the lobby, so that's something that you can do if it's a rainy day. You have a place to go and sit and relax. You've got a spa on property, so you can spend time at the spa. You've got two pools, one of which you can watch the fireworks from. So even though you will not be in the parks, you are at a resort where you have a view of the fireworks. You've got the shopping there, and I just think that overall, every day you could do something different, eat someplace different on that resort. And I mean, at that resort and be on the monorail loop so that you have easy access to the other resorts, easy access to even getting over to Wilderness Lodge or Fort Wilderness. Oh, actually, speaking of Fort Wilderness, I'm zipping it, throwing away the key. I'll continue with. Speaking about
the
Grand
death
Floridian.
Glare Scott just gave you was legendary.
I just saw the light bulb go off and I'm like, don't even say it.
But then you also have the marina at Grand Floridian. Parker just entered the podcast. Is Parker going to say anything?
Parker has entered the chat. What up, Parker?
For anybody who does not know, Parker is Kathleen and Scott's dog. She's adorable. And she's a French bulldog, and she's sitting on Kathleen's lap right now. And
oh, I'm sorry, she's
and it's very
English,
cute. But anyway,
English bulldog.
Oh, sorry. I knew she was some type of European bulldog.
The way he said that, I had a total Monty Python flashback of the French knight on top of the castle, and just the English throwing all sorts of shade at him.
It's merely a flesh wound.
Now go away, or I shall taunt you a second time.
So anyway, Grand Floridian also has the marina over there. There's a lot to do at that resort. And I think that the rooms are beautiful, whether you are staying at a resort studio or in the DVC building. You've got beautiful rooms, lots of dining. Yeah, I think that that's a really solid option.
I completely agree. And I stayed away from that and Crescent Lake for two reasons. Number one, they were the obvious choices because there's just so much there. How many times have we talked about it? Seven Seas Lagoon and Crescent Lake just have so much around there for dining, for things to see, for beautiful resorts. And quite frankly, I just simply cannot. It's a completely foreign concept to me. I cannot contemplate staying on Seven Seas Lagoon or Crescent Lake and not entering a park. If this is a holy vow, I am going to break it on day two. There's no way I can be that close and not go into a park. So I can't stay there for resort only because I'm going in.
Well, Scott.
Well, I think as Amy started to allude to, and I kind of shut her down real quick because I didn't want her to pick the surprise that I have. I think surprisingly, based on our recent
I hate to break it to you, Scott. You said in the Fort Wilderness episode that it would be your number one pick for a resort only stay. So there's not a whole lot of shocked faces in the crowd here.
Really? Because I'm pretty sure everybody's shocked right now. I don't know. I wanted to pick Grand Floridian, but I had such a great time at Fort Wilderness. I think if I'm going to do a resort only stay, I think I'm going to pick that because of all the different things that you can do. And, they had horseback riding. They had a bunch of different activities. There was just so much there, even just getting a golf cart and riding around the property, taking a boat. You could always just take a boat over to Wilderness Lodge. You could go to, over to Contemporary and take the monorail then to all the other resorts pretty easily. dining. I mean, they're kind of lacking with the dining, but just the relaxing feel, people playing like volleyball, actually being out, just walking, enjoying the grounds. To me, that felt like a vacation in itself. I didn't need to be at the park. So when we started talking about the topic for this episode, that was my number one immediate choice. And it kind of shocked me because I would always go for Grand Floridian for every reason that Amy just said, restaurants and lounge and basically ease of access to other resorts. If you wanted to go quickly visit the Polynesian or Bay Lake, definitely I would pick Grand Floridian, but I just had so much fun at Fort Wilderness. I think I would pick that now.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I'm not surprised. It's honestly where I thought you were going based on the Fort Wilderness episode and how much you said you loved all of the other things that were available to you while on property. And I just had visions of you just speeding around there in some bad golf cart that you bought at Lowe's.
And making candles.
We did?
No, that you can do that there, though. That's one of the many activities at Fort Wilderness.
Oh.
Much like Camp Fitch. You can make candles.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
I am a little surprised at your answer.
So many activities.
Do you want to go?
Do I want to go to Fort?
Yeah.
I'll go. I don't think it's enough to make me buy points yet, but I would definitely go just to hang out, get a golf cart, and have a resort day.
Okay. Well, mine is probably predictable. It's either Grand Floridian or Animal Kingdom Lodge. And I'm not sorry that I'm predictable because I like those resorts for those reasons. There's a lot to do there and you don't have to go into a park. I like Grand Floridian for all the reasons Amy stated. And I like Animal Kingdom Lodge for all the reasons Phil stated. I mean, there's just a lot to do there without stepping foot into a park. We've done it before.
Yeah.
Especially Grand Floridian. There's just, you can go to other resorts around the monorail. I mean, there's just so much.
That's kind of why it's the flagship resort of Walt Disney World, just because there's so many restaurants and great things.
He couldn't help himself, could he?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I just want to point out that you're going over to Fort Wilderness and Kathleen and I are staying together at Animal Kingdom. This is going to get awkward.
I'll visit Amy at Grand Floridian. I'll pick her up in my golf cart.
Speaking of golf carts, just a little aside, I am still fascinated by the thought of Old Key West with golf carts. Since you said that, I have not been able to get that thought out of my mind.
I think that would be both entertaining and dangerous at the same time. But yeah, I think it would make an Old Key West day 100 times more interesting.
When can we book?
April 23rd.
I'm surprised nobody went with a Disney Springs resort, frankly, because the thought crossed my mind to do Saratoga and have access to Disney Springs because there's so much to do over there, but there just wasn't enough substance there for me to put it at the top of my list.
I really thought about it because we did a resort tour there about a month or two ago, and we were kind of shocked. We really enjoyed walking around the grounds at Saratoga. Mm-hmm. There was a lot there to do, just a lot to see. And like you said, Phil, just to be able to walk over to Disney Springs, your nights are, you know, you're never going to have a dull moment at night walking over there.
I think that my number one deterrent from picking Saratoga Springs for a resort only stay is something that we touched on in the lounge episode, is that their lounge is really lackluster. And I like to be able to like sit someplace where I'm people watching in a lobby or close to a lobby or, you know, where people are going to be walking by. And I don't know, that resort, yeah, like you see people who are coming off of the boat from Disney Springs walk through there. But I don't know, like the resort itself feels very like condo-ish. It doesn't feel resort-like to me. But, you know, if they opened the spa again, that's definitely something that would increase the likelihood that I might put that on the list. And I do really love their pools. So that is something, like you could go to a different pool every day and spend a day at a different pool every day if you're a pool person. And then having that access to Disney Springs is, you know, it is definitely why you'd pick it. But I think that if I were going to pick between the two, between Old Key West and Saratoga, I would pick Old Key West because I just enjoy the hospitality house area much more than I enjoy the carriage house. And it's just a prettier resort for me, I think. you know, especially like if I was going to be getting like a one bedroom or a two bedroom, the Old Key West one and two bedrooms just feel, you know, they're bigger. So it lends itself more to kind of being, if you're going to be someplace where you're going to be spending a lot of time at the resort, why not pick the place that has the larger units? So I'd go Old Key West over Saratoga Springs. And, you know, you got to give her another shout out, Phil. Gurgling Suitcase. Lorna.
Gotta love Lorna. I think, you know, it crossed my mind, but we are not typically Disney Springs people. We love the idea of Disney Springs, and we love the promise of Disney Springs, but it feels like every time we're there, it's absolutely mobbed, and we just never truly enjoy the reality of Disney Springs, and that's kind of what drove me away from it. I think maybe part of that is that I'm a little biased because we're typically at a resort where you've got to take the bus to Disney Springs, and that's just a process in and of itself, so I think that factors into it. When you've got little kids, it's the M&M store, it's the Lego store, it's Ghirardelli, it's kind of nonstop. I think if I were to go with Emily and we were to do a resort-only stay, Saratoga would factor higher. Even if we weren't doing a resort-only stay, I think Saratoga would factor higher because we could go and take our time, she could have a cocktail, we could enjoy our nights, we could stroll through Disney Springs. But when you've got two little kids tagging along with you, Disney Springs can be a little much.
I mean, honestly, even having teenagers, they find Disney Springs boring. Their threshold for Disney Springs is basically a meal, a couple of shops, and then they are good for the rest of the trip. So I definitely think that Disney Springs is kind of lends itself more to an adult-only trip where you want to be going to all of the different restaurants, sitting and watching live entertainment, maybe going to see Cirque du Soleil. Like, those are much more adult things to do. So yeah, I agree with that. And I just want to speak to Scott's choice of Fort Wilderness, because I think that from a resort activities perspective, you know, in addition to the things that you were talking about with like the boats and the horseback riding and the golf carts, I think that the activities that they offer with the campfire every night and the s'mores and the movies, their recreation, and I guess you did allude to it when you said that the candle making, they just have such a robust activities list that I think that if you were to go there, especially with kids, you would be able to keep your kids occupied at Fort Wilderness and probably without even having to leave, probably more so than any other resort on Disney property. And so, I mean, that's, you know, I don't have small kids. So for me, it would all be all about just like relaxing there and then being able to hop on a boat if I wanted to go someplace that had a, you know, a lounge or something. But I do think that Fort Wilderness would be really great for families who are active, like active families who will take advantage of all of the things that they have to do on that property.
I will say this, my kids would enjoy Fort Wilderness. They love all of that. They love pool time. They love the activities at the resort. That's not a problem. They would love the playgrounds and the boats and the horses and hoop-de-doo. I love my children. There is no doubt about it. I just don't love them that much.
They can stay with us.
Yeah, I'll take them. Since you don't love them that much.
Oh, don't threaten them with a good time. Mackenzie's already got a bag packed to move in with you guys.
We're ready.
No. You're not, trust me.
I think you would really like it there just because you could be active there. You could get a bike. I mean, you could do run. I mean, of all resorts, I think, like, where would I want to rent a bike? And that would be the one just to go on a bike ride around that resort. That would be fun in itself.
I don't disagree. I think there is just a part of me that is so anti-camping and anti-campground that I don't think I will ever get past that. I don't even enjoy the idea of being in a campground. It's just
not camping. It's glamping.
It's camping. I mean, so I'll put it this way. If my life was on the line and I had to camp somewhere, I would do it there. You know, I've said it before. I am an outdoorsy person. I have no problem doing an 8-hour technical hike. I have no problem hiking up a mountain and skiing down. I have no problem going to the national parks. I have no problem going up north and doing a long climb up the side of mountains and trails. But at the end of the day, I'm coming back to a 5-star hotel with a steakhouse that's nearby. I'm an outdoorsy person during the day, and then I want to do something else. And regardless of how nice they say those cabins are going to be, they're still single wides that I don't think measure up to the other rooms. And that's just what it comes down to for me. But I'm not here to crap on Fort Wilderness. Again, I think it has its value, especially in this particular question. It's just not my style.
I still believe that if all of us went to Fort Wilderness at the same time, we got 3 cabins that were in the same loop, it would be a ridiculous amount of fun. I'm just saying. But I know, Phil, that's never going to happen because you're never going to use your points to stay at Fort Wilderness. So
not
I'm just
chance.
Saying it would be, but you're not going to allow this fun to happen. So
that's what the bunk beds are for. Phil, I'll give you a top bunk. You don't have to use your
I'll
point.
I'll think about it.
We go horseback riding.
There'll be so much room for activities.
Oh, I'm struggling not to go with the obvious joke here. Oh, gosh. Little ears, little ears, little ears.
I open the door, you can just walk right through it.
Oh, I can edit. Are we going?
How dare you say that?
How dare you? Okay. Sorry.
And back to our regularly scheduled programming.
All right. So I do feel like we have to talk about Crescent Lake because, I mean, it's clearly, you know, staying at Crescent Lake, you can't go wrong. And for me, I said I was torn between Grand Floridian and Beach Club, and I didn't want to pick Beach Club because it's predictable. But I do feel like I need to sing its praises in this respect because
1,000%.
It is. And we said this when we were talking, when we had that, the episode about Beach Club versus Boardwalk, that it just feels like a resort. You know, it feels like this was built to be a resort. It's got a pool area that is akin to, you know, a small water park. It has some good dining with Cape May Cafe and Beaches and Cream. Hurricane Hannah's is great. You know, we talked about on the last episode, Martha's Vineyard being kind of a diamond in the rough that people don't really realize is there. And you're on Crescent Lake, which gives you the option to walk over to the spa at the Dolphin, gives you access to all of those restaurants. It gives you access to renting a boat. It gives you access to the nightlife at the Boardwalk. So it definitely, there is so much to do over there that you could also, you know, like I said, with Grand Floridian, you could do something different every single day. And the difference between Beach Club and Grand Floridian is that Grand Floridian, I mean, I guess with the exception of Polynesian, which you could walk to quickly.
Well, not at the moment, but typically, yes.
Right. Yes, typically. You would, you know, at Grand Floridian, you would likely need to get on transportation to go to another resort to do something. But if you're at Beach Club or, you know, or Boardwalk, you can walk to another resort in minutes and have access to whatever dining, lounge, entertainment, you know, whatever amenities that are available to people who are not staying at those resorts within, you know, a 5-minute walk in either direction. So, I mean, and for me, I think that Beach Club is better for a resort-only stay over Boardwalk just because you've got Storm Along Bay, but then you also have the quiet pool so that you have a choice between the two different kind of environments, whether you want the water slide or you want to relax at a... And, you know, I know Phil makes fun of me for always talking about the quiet pool at the Beach Club Villas, but it's a great place to relax.
I think you just mentioned it, what's key. And I would have a hard time between Seven Seas Lagoon and Crescent Lake, but I would probably fall on the side of Crescent Lake. I might argue Boardwalk is a little better. And there's really only one reason is I like the room design just a little better than I like Beach Club. But realistically, the best part of a resort-only stay on Crescent Lake is there is so much within a 5-minute walk. The walk is shorter than, you know, with the monorail loop and Seven Seas Lagoon. right now you can't get to Floridian, but let's just say you can. So if you're at Polynesian or Floridian, you can access either one with a short walk. If you want to get over to Contemporary, you've got to take the monorail, or you've got to take a boat over to Magic Kingdom and then walk. If you want to get to Wilderness Lodge or Fort Wilderness, you need to get on a boat or somehow transfer. The beauty of Crescent Lake is you've got Swan, you've got Dolphin, you've got Swan Reserve, you've got Yacht Club, you've got Beach Club, you've got Boardwalk. I said earlier that if I did a resort-only stay, I would not confine myself to just that resort. I think it means you can't go into the theme parks. You could spend an entire, I don't want to say a week, but easily 4 or 5 days on Crescent Lake and never leave Crescent Lake. All you would have to do is walk around that little body of water, and there are so many restaurants and there are so many lounges. I don't think you can go wrong with either pool, whether it be Stormalong Bay or Boardwalk. I've said before, solo, we like Beach Club and Yacht Club, but with little kids, we tend to move more towards Boardwalk just because it's a less stressful experience. But you can't go wrong. Think about everything you could do. And we talked about it in the Crescent Lake episode. Everything you could do over the course of 4 or 5 days, never do the same thing twice and still have options left over, and you would never have to leave Crescent Lake.
And never set foot on transport in any mode of transportation.
Yeah, no transfers whatsoever.
Yeah. You know, so I did, admittedly, I have never done a resort-only stay. I have done stays where I have only gone to one park before I had an annual pass, and it was to go to the Epcot Flower and Garden Festival. And so I kind of structured, and it was this is like kind of like the best of all of our episodes packed into this one trip. So I did a split stay. It was primarily a resort stay, except for one day where I was there to go to a festival. So all the things that we've talked about on our episodes, I structured the trip so that when I wanted to go to, I think, where did I start that trip?
You're asking us?
Yeah. I was looking at Kathleen because I feel like, I know that just doesn't even know what I'm talking about, but I started it at Bay Lake Tower.
I remember. Yeah.
And so, you know, I checked into Bay Lake Tower. Amazingly, my room was ready, like, really early. I mean, I had like a 8 a.m. flight and my room was ready. It actually might have even been like an earlier flight than that, because I feel like I was in the room at 10:30, and it was when the waves was still open. And I checked in, my room was ready. I went down and I had lunch at the Wave. Then I went and I laid at the pool all day until it was time to get ready for dinner. And I went to California Grill before it was Prefix and had dinner there. And then the next day, I transferred my luggage over to Saratoga Springs, took a bus to Disney Springs, and I spent the entire day at Disney Springs. I watched all the entertainment. I kind of like dined and drank around Disney Springs the way like some people would do at Epcot. Just getting small plates here and there. I saw Cirque du Soleil, and then I walked back over to Saratoga Springs, which was so great. Like that, it really is great when you are at Disney Springs and you're there late to be able to walk back to Saratoga Springs. That's like one time where you're like, I'm so happy that I'm staying here because I don't need to deal with the craziness of the buses at Disney Springs. And so walking back was amazing. And then I woke up from that resort at that resort the next morning. And when I woke up, my room at Boardwalk was ready. So I transferred. I just took a Lyft over. So I didn't need to have Bell Services transfer my bags. And then I checked into Boardwalk. I hung out at the pool all day, all morning, until I then went to Epcot for Flower and Garden. And then I came back. And then I think that night, the next day, then I think that I don't remember what I did. I think I spent the day at the pool again, and then I transferred over to Wilderness Lodge and stayed at Copper Creek and went to Geyser Point. And so it was really kind of like hitting the highlights. I mean, that's one resort that we haven't talked about for a resort-only stay is Wilderness Lodge. But that's all. I mean, pretty much they're all solid options. It is a relatively solid option because you do have, I mean, I guess maybe from a dining standpoint, it's not ideal because Story Point, what's it? Storybook Dining at Artist Point is, I mean, I guess if you're with a family, it probably might be a good resort stay.
I feel like both their restaurants are just a little narrow and kitschy. I mean, you've got a very expensive meal that we've done it. The meal was not that great. You know, the best part of that meal was interacting with the Evil Queen. And then you've got Whispering Canyon. If that's your thing, that's fine. We always find it to be underwhelming. So I think the dining there suffers. And if you're going to stay in that area, there are just better options. We love Wilderness Lodge. Don't get me wrong. We enjoy staying there. It's always on our short list. We love it. But if I had to do a resort only stay, there are better places on Bay Lake and Seven Seas Lagoon to choose.
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately the dining at Wilderness Lodge is what hurts it, because clearly it's a gorgeous resort and it's got beautiful views. And Geyser Point is great. Again, we talked about that in the lounge episode. But yeah, I mean,
and their pool's kind of small too. I actually like their quiet pool better than their feature pool.
Same. Yeah, you're right. I mean, so I stayed there one night, and I checked on that trip that I was talking about. And I checked out the next day, and that was the day that I left. So I spent the least amount of time there. And I actually didn't even go to the pool, because to your point, the pools were kind of crowded. And I just didn't, I was leaving, and I just didn't, I couldn't motivate to find space at the pool before it was time to leave. And I don't really think I missed out on much by not.
Was that the trip when you were at Boardwalk Pool and you couldn't get, you were like behind the bar area?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right outside the doors to the bathrooms.
Correct. But even further over. I mean, it was like, really, it was a shame.
Yeah, that's the one hit I'll give Boardwalk, and I've mentioned it before, for a resort-only stay. Their quick service is just terrible. There's nothing there to speak of. So if you're hanging out, you do have to go elsewhere for quick service, especially if you're in the pool. There's just no really great options.
Yeah, I actually, on that trip, I had lunch at Big River Grill.
Ooh.
Rest in peace.
By choice?
Ooh.
I did, because I was, because I didn't have reservations anywhere. I was hungry, and I thought I would give it a shot, because I hadn't eaten there in a long time, and it was bad.
Well, there's a reason it's closed. By the way, I didn't get a chance to say it earlier. I just want to put out here, so there is a time and date stamp. From this point forth, the new tower at Polynesian, I have decided, will either be called Grand Polynesian or the Polyridian.
He's stealing my ideas.
That's what Scott said. He said it's going to be called the Grand Polynesian.
What was your second one? The Polyridian?
The Polyridian.
I like that one. Can we just call it the Grand Polyridian?
I'm on board. All right. You've heard it here first, folks.
The Polyridian sounds like some sort of STD. And not the one that Scott reports on.
Oh, you are going to hear Mackenzie's voice so many times in this episode.
What were you going to say? You're surprised no one picked one?
Bay Lake Tower. Everybody's giving me this look. Like, I mean, you all talk about staring at the water for 3 hours. You could go down to the boat dock in the morning and have yourself a nice morning on the boat dock. You could take an actual boat on to Seven Seas.
You can do that at Grand Floridian.
I'm just saying, it's nice. Bay Lake, you can watch the fireworks. I mean, where else are you going to get a better fireworks view than Bay Lake Tower? You talk about dining. Wilderness Lodge kind of, you know, they were lagging a little bit because of their dining options. But when you talk about Bay Lake Tower and Contemporary with
Chef Mickey's,
California Grill is terrible, but Chef Mickey's and Steakhouse 71, can't really go wrong with those.
Two things for me make BLT not make the list. Number one is the pools. Number two is, again, I think that a lack of like a proper lounge, like Outer Rim, is just terrible for me.
What about Steakhouse 71 and California Grill? Oh, it's not really a lounge. I get it. It's just a bar. I get that.
Those are like attached to restaurants. Like, it's different. You know, like I want the space where you can just like go and like go into a lounge. So and that's also, you know, Riviera too for me. Like, it just, the pools at Riviera and the lack of like a proper lounge make those non, you know, those aren't really considerations for me.
Do they have a lounge?
Riviera. Yeah. Bar Riva. That's about it.
Oh,
right?
That's a pool bar. Yeah.
Scott, were you here last week when we had this conversation?
I didn't remember talking about Riviera. I wanted to talk more about Coronado than Riviera, but I really don't remember even mentioning Riviera. I guess, yeah, that pool bar would be their lounge.
Yeah, the closest they've got to a lounge is the moderate they share an address with. I've actually got a second Amy's first thought on Bay Lake Tower. I think number one, the turn off for me is I think they have, as far as deluxe resorts go, one of the worst deluxe resort pools on property. I think their pools are completely underwhelming. Number two, if I'm doing a resort stay, the room becomes very important to me. And unless I'm staying in one of those two-floor, two-bedroom rooms they have, those rooms are underwhelming, and especially the studio is super tiny. The one bedroom is not very big. You give up an awful lot of space. And I've said before, we almost bought a Bay Lake Tower. I just don't love the theming. Again, like Wilderness Lodge, I just think there are better options on the monorail loop and on Seven Seas Lagoon that Bay Lake Tower just doesn't come either first or second for me, even third.
So let me ask you this. If we could put non-DVC resorts in this category, would your answer change?
Oh, my gosh.
I'm going with Coronado.
My answer wouldn't change, but if you had me pick a moderate, Kathleen and I are sharing a room again.
Oh, I misheard her. My answer would not change, no. But if I had to pick a non-DVC resort, it would be Coronado.
Coronado, of all the properties, of all the resorts on property, has the best claim to either picking up DVC or being the closest to a deluxe that exists in the moderate category.
You?
I don't know if Scott's head just exploded or not, but...
Wait, what was the question? If it was a moderate, we had...
If you had to choose a moderate for a resort-only stay, what would it be?
Riviera.
I mean, Phil, the way that you would argue, already did.
Oh, I got that.
Riverside is what I said. Riverside. I've always had a thing for Riverside. I think there's a lot to do there. Carriage rides, fishing, take a ride down that Sasagula River we were talking about. But I think for me, it would be Riverside, for sure.
You would pick Riverside over Coronado? Was it close in your mind? Because I know you like Coronado a lot.
I like Coronado, but the only thing that I'm actually going to do on property at Coronado is visit a restaurant or a lounge. I don't know what else.
I think their pool is better at Coronado, personally. I just think the theming is better.
I just think there's more to do, like, at Riverside with the horse. A carriage ride? Mm-hmm. You can walk right over to French Quarter and get some beignets. You can take that boat right over to Disney Springs. I think there's more to do there.
I don't disagree. I've got a softer spot for Coronado, but you make a very good point.
I think that I'd probably go with Riverside also. Well, again, I mean, I think it's Coronado is great because it has all of those restaurants. It just feels very, I don't know, there's something that feels like very kind of flashy to me, you know what I mean, about Coronado. It's like the tower. It's kind of like Vegas vibes with blown glass chandeliers. And I don't know. I feel like in terms of like really getting a feeling of being at Disney, but not being able to go into a park, Riverside would definitely be my choice.
I'll stick with Coronado, but I could be convinced otherwise. I think Riverside has a good claim there.
Phil, you could have picked Yacht Club. She said non-DVC, right? It doesn't have to be a moderate.
Holy crap, you're right. I'm slipping. I'm changing my answer. Yacht Club.
It's probably my fault because I
thought she said moderate.
Stopped paying attention.
So did I.
For a minute.
I thought she said moderate.
I thought she said
but
non-DVC. I didn't.
I said a non-DVC.
Yep, gold star for the only one that pays attention right here. Thank you. Non-DVC.
I said a non-DVC. If you could pick a non-DVC, would it change your answer?
By the time I'm done with the editing, she's saying moderate one way or the other.
I heard moderate as well. That's why I said Coronado.
I thought sure she said moderate, but I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm. I thought
Scott
you
is correct here.
I thought you were going to say the Swolfin.
Well, you're reading my mind, because now that I know what she actually said, I would probably go with the dolphin.
When what activities are there?
It morphed into moderate. The conversation morphed into moderate. But the question was, if you could pick a non-DVC resort, what would you pick, and would it change your answer?
Well, we both heard it wrong.
Yeah, it would definitely
change. If it's non-moderate, it's Yacht Club, hands down. There's no secret here about how much I love that resort. But if it has to be a moderate, I'm going with Coronado. But if I knew I could hang out with Scott at Riverside, then let's go get some beignets. And Yeehaw Bob, let's just point that out.
Yeah, I forgot about Yeehaw Bob. What a great point. That would be fun.
We need to do that.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, Yeehaw Bob is fun, and it's you know, one of the few resorts where there is, like, later entertainment.
Yeah.
Because I think that's open until midnight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Probably the only place on property that goes that late.
Jelly rolls.
Yeah, not when you have kids.
Right? Those dang kids.
How dare you?
So, next time we're going to talk about all of the extras and stuff, which would kind of also lend itself to things that you might choose to do on said resort-only stay. So we'll touch on some of those things. And one of the things that Kathleen brought up was the Starlight Safari at Animal Kingdom Lodge. So I've done that. So I'll definitely talk about that on the next episode.
I was actually going to find a loophole and say resort-only stay means you can't go into the park during normal operating hours, but I was going to find some parties or after hours to hit.
Always trying to game the system over here.
I'm going my own way.
How dare you? I mean, I feel like this is the most off the rails we've kind of ever gone.
That pretty much wraps everything up, guys. So,
yep, that'll do it.
We'll DV, whatever that is, DVC you real soon.
All right, folks, we actually kept this one under an hour. Thank you for playing along, especially if you came back after last week and Amy's goat cheese and Scott's bad jokes. So if you enjoyed the podcast, why don't you head on over to Apple Podcasts, give us a like, a couple of words of encouragement, a 5-star review. We would appreciate it. Amy?
And if you want to interact with us in other ways, you can follow us on...
How dare you say that?
1-900.
No. You can follow us on Facebook at DVC Clubhouse, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, also at DVC Clubhouse. And until next time, we'll DVC you real soon.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
See you guys.
And so our journey comes to an end.
Oh, no, please. Can't we go back to page one and do it all over again?
We started this thing together, and that's how we finish it.
Because that, my friends, is where the magic lives.